When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Sam Lubman in for Dan Devone. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors This Week. 1 hour in, 2 to go. 9 to noon every single Saturday, chopping it up about everything Golden State Warriors related. Only really one game to react to this week. 91-90, the Rockets knocked the Warriors out of the vaunted Emirates NBA Cup. Sam, I'm not going to lie to you. Before we get back into our conversation, and I do want to get the trade machine involved because it's spicy this time of year. Officially, I think like 90% of the league is officially open to be traded as of tomorrow on December 15th. So that's why all these trade rumors have been swirling. But I kind of like the cup. I'm not going to lie. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just like becoming assimilated. You know, I'm becoming one of the cronies for Adam Silver and what the NBA is trying to push upon us. Yeah, I mean, I didn't like the red court necessarily, but I don't know. I like the idea of quality basketball teams having to play each other. And even if the NBA Cup is this like pseudo form of competition, I'm in if it means that the Warriors get to play the best of the best and we get to see good basketball.
Yeah, I'm kind of whatever on it. I don't think it's the most incredibly needed thing in the world, but it has. It seems like it's juiced up a little bit more excitement, though. I guess the Final Four. I don't know if you saw, Evan.
The Final Four.
The Final Four for the NBA Cup: Bucks, Hawks, Thunder, Rockets. Ticket prices plummeted when those four teams were locked in.
Another reason I'm in. Suppressed prices. We got discounts.
Cheap flight to Vegas. Make all your money back on the tables. Basically go for free at that point.
Or just double down. Yeah. Put it all on red.
I guess if I were to say the number one thing I don't like about the NBA Cup is the colored courts. Some of them work. The Warriors, they kind of had the smoky gray. I was on board with that. The Celtics with that bright green, not a fan of that. The Rockets with that, you know, blood red, as Steve Kerr said, descending into the depths of hell. Was not a fan of that one. The Nuggets, they had that bright yellow one. So some of the court colors, not a fan of that, aesthetically speaking. That's a small fix. To me, when I look at the NBA Cup, I'll be honest, there's a part of me that's kind of glad the Warriors aren't going to Las Vegas. Not because I'm afraid of them getting in trouble, just because, you know, and this we had Anthony Slater on Wednesday on the Morning Roast, and his line was that it would be suggestible for the Warriors to lose to the Rockets on Wednesday night, because then you do get to come home, you do get a couple days off at home, a couple days of practice, you got a game against you know, between the Thunder and the Mavericks, you have a game against a not-as-good team in the Mavericks. So you have a chance to kind of get a win there. And then you got 4 days off at home to get ready for Memphis. All of that sounds far more appealing than coming home, getting on a plane, going to Vegas, battling with the Thunder, potentially winning that game, staying in Vegas, you know, battling with either the Bucks or the Hawks in a game that doesn't mean anything except for, you know, money and the cup, I guess, and the banner. And
well, Pat Spencer wants the paycheck.
That's true. I at the end of the day, though, I just the incentive to for the Warriors to win, I believe, is just too small to where I would rather see this team get some practice time in, get some time to kind of work out some of their issues, go over the film, what's going on down the stretch that we can correct. And more importantly, you got 7 nights to sleep in your own bed. You know, 7 nights to enjoy the home cooking, 7 nights to just drive home right after work, not have to go to a hotel, not have to deal with any of that. And I think that's what's most advantageous because, Evan, we just spent this last segment talking about how Steph and Draymond are old and, you know, they're seeing their minutes reduced to kind of keep them fresh. And, you know, when Steve Kerr is saying, it's like, oh, yeah, I really want to go to Las Vegas. We really wanted to win that. A part of me thinks that, like, come on, Steve, that I don't believe that. Like, it's you're saying that because if a head coach says, yeah, I want nothing to do with the in-season tournament, that's probably not a good look for the league. So I think overall the Warriors – In a better spot, which is weird to say after a loss, but they're in a better spot not having to deal with the stress of the NBA Cup.
Yeah, I mean, look, overall, I agree. I mean, I'm just having some fun. I think that...
I mean, to poo-poo on your fun, but...
Well, no, the Warriors, I think outside of the All-Star break, no NBA team will have a week in which they only... Like, one game in 7 days is extremely rare,
mm-hmm.
if it ever happens during the NBA season. So the fact the Warriors can get that built in for players like Curry and Draymond, I think is valuable. But losing that kind of game to the Rockets is not. Because we might end up looking at the end of this season, whereas I think last year the Warriors were either a game or two out of being out of the play-in entirely. And if that's a game that costs you, now you could look at the Denver game that costs you, the San Antonio game that costs you, the meltdown of the second half, that Brooklyn that costs you. Maybe it's more, you know, kind of those bigger issues than one particular game. But the way they lost certainly didn't make it feel like they wanted that game.
No, absolutely.
They wanted to beat the Houston Rockets.
No, I'm not saying they lost on purpose or they punted that game aside. And by the way, it was 2 years ago, the year they lost to the Lakers in the second round, they finished a game up on...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
On the Lakers to get that 6th seed there, so they avoided the play-in. The Lakers had to go into the play-in tournament, and that obviously set up that matchup later on. But that's all to your point, though, Evan, and I think I mentioned it in the first segment of the show. The West is just such a cluster right now where A two-game win streak can shoot you up 2-3 spots. A two-game losing streak can knock you down 2-3 spots. So, and yes, am I happy that they lost that game on Wednesday night in terms of just because they got the loss? No, absolutely not. I absolutely wanted them. I wanted a 16-game streak against the Rockets. Like, that was my internal battle on Wednesday night.
They had to,
like,
lose eventually.
Yeah, but at the same time, it didn't have to be that night. Like, let's see if we can make it to 20. I love the Warriors just absolutely humiliating the Rockets for that long of a time. And so, yeah, that was my battle. It's like, I don't want this team to have to deal with the cup, but I don't want this team to lose to the Rockets. So, and of course, they did end up losing to the Rockets. But yeah, that was a game you need because you never know at the end of the year whether it's with a tiebreaker with the Rockets, whether it's just, you know, if you're in the seventh spot, a game out of whoever's in the sixth spot, you're going to look back at that Rockets game and you're going to be punching air because of what could have been. So, in that sense, yes, that was bad. But in the overall sense of just kind of the big picture of this season, I think the Warriors are in a perfect spot right now, not having to go to Vegas for the NBA Cup.
No, and look, I think that the Warriors season, it's not going to be determined by whether or not they win the NBA Cup or not. They're going to play the Dallas Mavericks now on Sunday. They get Klay Thompson. And by the way, you can go to warriors.com/tickets because that game was not originally listed on the schedule if you want to get to Chase Center, get some home cooking, enjoy the only game of this week. Yep, 5:30 start. Mark Grandy's going to have pre and post for you tomorrow night. But the thing about the Warriors that right now I think everybody is concerned about is, well, how do they improve this roster? Okay, is it internally? Seems more probable that it's externally. They position themselves this offseason with a lot of smaller, flexible, tradable contracts. Do they make a move? And of course, all the trade talks, like I mentioned, are beginning to happen because the majority of the league is eligible to be traded as of tomorrow on December 15th. And that is literally 90 to 95% of the league. So the Warriors, as of tomorrow, could make a move. Now, Steve Kerr said yesterday on Willard and Dibbs, he doesn't expect anything until February when it becomes real, but all the talks are beginning to emerge. And the two teams that I think have been most in the rumor mill, Sam, are the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler, to the Warriors, and then the Brooklyn Nets. And there's been a lot of hypotheticals, but do you feel like the Warriors are aimed at trying to acquire a big fish like the Shams Charania report earlier this week said, or do you feel like they'd be better positioned trying to trim the hedges with something like Cam Johnson, Dennis Schroeder, I don't know, Cam Thomas has been involved. There's other names that are emerging that we can get to in a minute, but I'll just throw that at you. Like, what kind of tickles your fancy?
I mean, the vibe I get is they want to go a little bit bigger. They want to bring in that superstar there. Whether that superstar is available is yet to be seen. But yeah, it basically, Evan, the way I look at it is just, do you go all in and punt on the future for the slight chance of winning this year? Or do you just kind of take your chances, what you have right now, save your future assets for the slight chance that you could build a great team down the road? I feel like that's kind of the battle that Joe Lacob is having right now. Because, you know, he's not just thinking short term. You know, he's always thinking light years ahead. That's probably where he got the nickname Joey Lightyears from. But as far as what I want, yeah, I would probably like to see them go a little bit more all in. Just because I do think it's, you only got a couple more years of Steph Curry right now. I would love to see the Warriors, you know, get him and Draymond that fifth ring. And kind of, you know, they would put him over LeBron, one behind Jordan. I mean, that's big for NBA legacy purposes there. Now, as far as options, I'll say right off the rip, I am out on Jimmy Butler coming to the Warriors. That is just a headache that I don't think the Warriors really want to put themselves at risk of having to deal with. In terms,
why is he a headache?
Oh, Jimmy Butler, he can be kind of a prima donna sometimes, like a lot of guys, but a little bit more so. So when I drive into work in the morning, I like to listen to our Odyssey sister station out in Miami, WQAM. I listened to him a lot when I was in college at the University of Miami. So yeah, I like to listen to him now. I feel like I'm back in school. And during that Heat playoff run this last year, there was just no joy to be had in Jimmy Butler. There's no trust in him. You had Pat Riley, you know, kind of telling Jimmy he needs to stop talking. It feels like Jimmy Butler's kind of wearing out his welcome in Miami. And when Pat Riley's starting to kind of take shots at you and wanting to move off of you, That's one of the elite guys in the league, Pat Riley. They call him the Godfather for a reason. If Pat Riley has issues with you, that's a red flag with me. Jimmy Butler, he's 35, and if he's going to come in here, is he going to be willing to basically be number three behind Steph and Draymond? I don't know if that's going to be the case with him. So it's just the scoring potential. Yeah, it's great. He's a great playoff performer, but you don't know what Jimmy Butler you're going to get. And I'd rather the Warriors just not take that risk.
So it has more to do with his demeanor than his game.
Yeah, because I do think that's a big part of it.
I think it is too. I think that's the part that I'm actually least concerned about, because Jimmy Butler has a track record of winning wherever he goes. He hasn't won a championship, but in Miami, with significantly less talented casts around him, which he'd probably be playing with in Golden State, we didn't get to whether I think it'd be a good trade or not, but just from an attitude standpoint, I would not be worried about Jimmy Butler one iota, because he has been to two finals with the Heat, multiple Eastern Conference Finals appearances. He helped the Minnesota Timberwolves back in the day get to their first playoff appearance in over a decade. He helped Joel Embiid get to the furthest he's ever been in the postseason in Philadelphia. And he also helped Miami. I realize that Pat Riley is a great basketball mind, but Pat Riley's Miami Heat was pretty much dormant and dead from the time that LeBron James went back to Cleveland until he got Jimmy Butler. So Jimmy Butler, the stats are not anything that's going to jump out at you. He's averaging 19 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, though he is shooting an all-time best 55% from the floor. The other part about it, too, is, and this is, I think, why I would consider a player like that. Jimmy Butler, to me, I don't think I could do, but I see why, which is, if you bring him in, he's not the number three. He's a lot. Jimmy Butler would be closer to being your number one than your number three, in my opinion, because I think that's what the Warriors are trying to find. And that's the biggest, I think, thing that jumped out to me, say, on Wednesday against Houston, is if Curry cannot be your bona fide number one every single game, then either you need to elevate someone like Jonathan Kuminga, who can help and try to be that player, or you need to go out and acquire one. And Jimmy Butler fits that to a T. Now, you're going to have to give up a lot to get him. I think he's very expensive.
$48 million.
He also potentially comes off the books next year, which allows you to reset, maybe keep a max slot. There's a lot of machinations you could use. My point is that if you go get Jimmy Butler, you are trying to find a player that is either equal or better at succeeding in those late-game situations than Steph Curry. And that's what the Warriors, I think, are trying to find. I don't know if they'll be able to get it, but that's what Jimmy Butler represents to me if you do trade for him.
No, definitely. I mean, the scoring punches there. When I say the number three, in terms, I mean just the overall kind of where they are in the pecking order of this team. Obviously, this is Steph's team. You know, everyone's going to fall behind Draymond second. But yeah, scoring-wise, you would have essentially a 1A and a 1B with Jimmy and Steph there. So in that sense, it does help. What you have to give up to get Jimmy as well might also be difficult. Again, $48 million, that's a lot of money you'd have to match. So obviously, Andrew Wiggins, it seems like he's going to be gone in any of these big-time trades that you're going to have to move off of Wiggins. I'd be kind of curious, though, after that, though. I mean, again, you can move DeAnthony Melton, so that's going to be that helps out a lot as well there. After that, though, I mean, can you move Jimmy Butler and still hold on to a guy like Jonathan Kuminga in return there? I mean, how are we so married to Kuminga being a part of this team's future that would that give you pause if I told, like, last summer we were talking about the Lowry Markkanen trade, and the hang up it seemed was always, would you bring in Lowry? Absolutely. Would you bring in Lowry for JK? I don't know. Would you bring in Lowry for Brandon Podziemski? I don't know. The whole point of bringing in a player is you got to send a player back. So if it was, you could get Jimmy Butler, but you got to part with Kuminga. Does that give you pause at all?
It would. I don't think that. Look, I don't know. I might be in the minority. I'm moving towards, and I have been for some time. Me and Dan have talked about this, but I got to find out what Jonathan Kuminga has. He's 22 years old. Like, I don't think his ceiling is infinite, but there's just too much there for me to give up on, and if you ask me right now whether I'd pay him or trade him, I'm further leaning towards paying him. And to me, that is, unless you can find another player out there, and we can get to one in a second that I actually think is very interesting. But to me, giving up on Kuminga at this point, it's like, well, then why'd you do the dance with him in the first place? Why'd you take him to prom? You know? So that's just me. But
juice him up or something. But no, I agree with you there. It's just it. The more Kuminga's been playing this year, I mean, I've always been a fan of Kuminga ever since they drafted him. I thought he showed a lot of promise in that first year. I want to see more of him these last 2 years. And it's just, I remember that Portland game last year. He came in, he played the final 16 minutes and basically carried the Warriors there. It just, ever since then, it just feels like he's a kind of a different guy. And you're seeing it more and more and more this year. I keep forgetting that he's 22 years old. He's one of those guys that seems like he's been around for so long that...
Well, he has.
Yeah, it's 4 years. it feels like he's like 26, 27. But no, you forget that he is only just 22, just scratching the surface of the potential he could be having. I'm not really willing to punt on that yet for a potential run with Jimmy Butler that might not get the Warriors to where they're looking to get.
The idea that Jimmy Butler doesn't make you better to me is laughable. Like, I mean, he would be the second best player on this team.
Oh, absolutely.
Fine, like, Steph Curry. If there was a way that the Warriors could get Jimmy Butler without moving Andrew Wiggins, then I would consider trading Jonathan Kuminga. But I don't think you can make it work without Wiggins being involved in the deal.
Well, that $26 million, I have the trade machine up here.
Well, it'd be either Wiggins or Draymond, and I don't really think you want to move either of those players.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to move Draymond either. You could, I'm plugging in here. Draymond or Wiggins could make that trade successful. The trade I have up right here on the computer, Evan, as I'm playing with this as we talk about it.
Okay.
Right now I just put Draymond in for Wiggins, but Draymond or Wiggins, Melton, I put GP2 in there, and Jonathan Kuminga. And then on the Heat side, I got Jimmy Butler and Josh Richardson, which I don't know if he would be coming back either. That's for the Heat to decide. This is just me playing around with it. But
to the point, though, at the
end of the day, yeah, one of those big contracts, Draymond or Wiggins, has to go there. I have a hard time seeing it be Draymond just because what he means to this team defensively, how he's able, especially if he's going to be coming off the bench, his ability to run that second unit. Like, I think Draymond's just, his value to this team is just too great to part with in exchange for Jimmy Butler.
I don't think that they would trade Draymond, but in my mind, moving him to the bench actually means that Draymond is closer to being a 25-minute-per-game player than he is 35-minute-per-game player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about Kuminga at this point. I think that's what we're learning with the Warriors. But again, I don't think there's a trade that's imminent, but we're talking about what they need. I think a lot of people are more into the Nets package. That might be Cam Johnson, who's a solid wing. He's on a good contract. Dennis Schroeder gives you some immediate scoring punch that you can either plug and play alongside Steph, or he can come off the bench. That limits Pod's minutes, which he's probably played far too many over the recent weeks. Now, I just wonder where people are at with it. At 888-957-9570. Let's go to San Jose and talk to Austin. Wants to get into some of the Warriors' needs. Austin, you're on with Evan and Sam. What's going on, man?
Hey, fellas. Happy Saturday. Good conversation. Listen, I'm with you, Evan. I think you're saying, talking about Jimmy Butler right now. I would do it in a heartbeat. I'm not as married to these guys. I think Warrior fans, and I'm one of them, I think we tend to fall in love with guys that we draft, you know, and I think, as you just said, it's kind of funny when every time we talk about bringing somebody in, we act like we can't get rid of the guys we have. And I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, Kuminga's really, he's a great talent. I love Kuminga, but if I can improve the team and put us in a position we probably could get a 4 or 5 seed, why wouldn't you do it? This notion that we've got to continue with these guys like Moody and Kuminga and all these guys we fall in love with, yeah, they might be decent guys, they might be good players, but if we don't believe in them now and they can't win for us, what's the point? So the money aside, I think you find a way to make the money work. If it's Butler, I would go get him. They need a guy that can finish a game. I mean, the last couple of games, guys, they couldn't make a shot in the last 3 minutes or so. We talk about it can't just be Steph. Steph is on the end of his playing career. Steph cannot go 40 minutes, 38 minutes a night anymore. So he's going to have to take nights off going forward. So who is going to do it? Kuminga? I don't know if Kuminga's that guy. I'm not going to say he can't do it. I don't think any of us know that. But this notion all of a sudden the Kerr is going to elevate Kuminga and see what he can do, I got a problem with that, guys. After 4 years of being in the system, and I know everybody talks about he's young, he's 22. Hey, man, if you can play in the NBA, it doesn't matter. This whole age thing is, I think, is blown out of proportion. If you can play in the NBA, you're on the court. And the fact that Jonathan Kuminga has not, the organization does not believe right now that he's the guy, nah, I would move him. You move guys when they have value. You don't wait until they don't have value or pretend they have value and say, I'm not going to go get this guy. You go get guys that are going to make you better. We need a number two, maybe a 1A. If it's Jimmy Butler, heck yeah. Go get him, guys. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks, Austin. Look, I agree with that in principle, honestly. The idea that... All right, Sam, when do you sell a stock and when do you buy a stock? Because that's essentially what players are to front offices. They're assets.
I mean, that's the kind of the time you have to make that decision on Jonathan Kuminga. I think it's kind of interesting, yo, if you do bring Jimmy Butler and what Austin said, you can get that 4 or 5 seed. I mean, is that still good enough to where you could see this team making a run through the playoffs? If we're going to punt, I mean, you're going to bring in Jimmy Butler. You're going to have to give away a lot of depth pieces in return. And so, I mean, that's to be taken a lot away from your bench as well. You can't just be winning with just your top scorers. I mean, the Warriors used to be able to do that, but when you have Steph, you know, Clay and KD, you don't need to worry about your bench depth as much because you have enough scoring up top to offset that. With Jimmy Butler, I mean, he's not young either. He's 35. Steph is 36, Draymond's 34. So your three best players would be, you know, all 34 or plus, and you're going to have a bench that, again, you might not have Kuminga, you might not have GP2, or you might not have other pieces. You might not have Pods or Moody or Looney. And so if you take those pieces away to bring in a Jimmy Butler, I think if anything, you go up when you bring in Butler, but then you go right back down when you get rid of those other guys. So it's just you're moving it almost like moving deck chairs around on the Titanic. Like at the end of the day, I don't know if that all that movement gets you to the Warriors to where they need to be.
I agree with that, and we can get into it more on the other side. This idea of what the Warriors are actually looking for in a trade. Are they looking for an actual superstar? Because that's going to cost them, to your point, Sam, a lot of their depth, which has made them successful. Or are they looking for something that can fit now and fit later? I don't think that Mike Dunleavy Jr. is putting himself in a position to go all in for this season. To me, Jimmy Butler is a trade that you're kind of going all in for.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't work, where does that leave you? I'll explain it on the other side. There's also another name that was floated out there yesterday by ESPN's Bobby Marks that I think is fascinating that we can get into that I think kind of hits on what we're going to move into on the next side of this conversation. All right, I see you, Gloria, in San Francisco. We'll get to your calls on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. Sam Lubman in for Dan Devone with Evan Giddings on Warriors This Week. We're back after this, 95.7 The Game.